I'm going to call it a foundation, maybe beginning is another good word, and I'm going to pray in just a second. It's kind of for people who, they're like, well, I'm not understanding the Sabbath for today. I'm not understanding the Sabbath in this time period. Are you sure that the Sabbath is still in effect right now? That's the kind of teaching this is. Okay, because most people that I've talked to will agree that there are places in the Scriptures where you can see that the Sabbath was in effect over here or over here. But their question always, it always drills down to, what about now? Sabbath in effect now? Or are we doing Sunday now and we're going to switch back to the Sabbath in a few years? That's the question that I'm always facing. And so what I did was, is I put together a presentation to demonstrate that I think that there is reasonable amount of evidence to support that the Sabbath should be observed at this time period too. So that's what this is, okay? Nothing fancy. All right, let's pray. You all like to stand just a moment? Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the appointed time that you have established where we can come together from all over this nation and we can assemble here and we can spend this time with you. We can spend it in fellowship and breaking bread and praise and worship and all of the other activities that you have provided for all ages. This is an exciting time. We're excited to be here to hear what you are bringing to us that we need to consider, we need to take back to our assemblies, we need to kind of like put into ourselves and say, okay, Father, what are you saying and how do I need to walk this out? So we rejoice that you have this time set aside where we can get together and do this. So that's really great. That's really great. I ask now that in this little setting that the things that are going to be shared here, that your truth would go forth and that your spirit would be able to take this and perhaps people can use part of it to share with other people. So I'm asking that your kingdom be furthered by anything that I present or anything that I say. I ask in the name of Yeshua. Amen. To the best of my knowledge, this is not a controversial message. Kind of like the one I gave Tuesday was also not a controversial message. Until that projector gets here, you're going to have to hear me talk a lot. So prepare yourself. Okay, we're ready. I'm Lee Miller. I'm from Richmond, Virginia. We have a small assembly there that gathers on the Sabbath, but not on Sunday. Well, most times we don't gather on Sunday. We gather on the Sabbath and we have a great time. And we're never all in agreement. No, one time we were and the building that we met in shook. But other than that, we're, you know, independent thinkers. Okay, this is Sabbath and the plan of God. By the way, this presentation is available online. I've already put it online. You can download the entire presentation as a PDF. And the... Oh, you know what I should have brought in? I should have brought in my brochures. I have a brochure in the resource room and it has a link to my website. Can you get into the resource room?
It's open.
Oh, cool. Okay, on my... on my table is a bunch of brochures. Someone is working on that.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Yep.
Well, anyway, I have a brochure. It's got a path to my website, and you can get information. Everything that we do in the assembly is there. Okay. In the beginning, in the first day, it was good. And the second day, that continued to the third day, and it was good, and it was good. On the fourth day, it was good. And the fifth day, it was good. And the sixth day, it was good. There's a pattern here. And in Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. What happened next after everything was very good? Rested on the seventh day and refreshed himself. That's from Exodus 31. Blessed the seventh day, set apart the seventh day from the other days. And I put a note in here to myself, while not self-evident on its face, at this point, God cared about the role the Sabbath played in his plan at the end of the creation process. I'm going to make that statement several times. I specifically chose that set of words. God cared about the role the Sabbath played. And I am forming that sentence based on things that he either said or did or had the people do. That's how I'm doing that. Okay, so I'm going to say after certain time periods or events that God cared about something or God didn't care about something. All right, so the summary of creation is, in the beginning, according to Deuteronomy 32, perfection took place at creation. There was nothing that was created in which God said, you know, that was a big disappointment. That is not even in the English text of any Bible. But let me say, you know, you have to read your English translations with a critical eye. I remember back in the day, early on, when the printing press came into existence, these typesetters, you know, glory to God, you know, they've got a big job. They have to be very careful. And in one Bible, which was printed early on from the printing press, in the Ten Commandments, the guy said, instead of saying, thou shalt not commit adultery, he left off the word not. And it says, thou shalt commit adultery. And there were a number of volumes issued until they found that error. And then they stopped printing that edition and fixed that and then started printing again. And so if you have one of those versions, then you have a treasure. But anyway, to the best of my knowledge, according to Deuteronomy 32, creation was perfect. There's nothing in the text that says that God was displeased. Okay? He said it was very good. After he was kind of like, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. When the whole thing's done, he says, this whole thing's very good. So, I thought that was a good point. And it seems like to me that if things could have gone on, then it would have remained that way. There didn't seem to be a change coming. It wasn't like he said, well, I think we're going to go on this way for a while and then we're going to switch over to Sunday. I'm not seeing that. Okay? And four, Adam sinned and sent the world into a tailspin of destruction and imperfection. So that brings up a question. Was God caught off guard? Was this like, what am I going to do now? I don't think that's the case. I think he foresaw that. Okay? I think he was prepared. I think he was ready. And I like to call that God had a plan. Okay? All right, now, these are great. I got great transitions, animations, you know, it's like doing this and this. And let's move forward in time. Abrahamic covenant. You have a projector.
I do.
Glory to God. You're going to be here in the next session, right?
I'll pick up where you leave off, how about that?
Okay, I like it. Hallelujah. All right, so Abrahamic covenant. Cut a covenant with Abraham to establish a nation that would receive his instructions. Most of us have read that before. But here's what I added. Are you going to go VGA or HDMI?
Can do
USB.
Yeah.
I ain't never done that before.
Well, this is arcane technology.
Okay.
Probably 3 years old or something like that.
We'll see what happens. Good golly day. That was before the what? Rosetta Stone? Okay. He cut a covenant with Abraham, and I put in my slide, and I'm quoting Deuteronomy 4, 6 through 8, with the intention that in the living out of the instructions, Israel would become a light to the world. This is how I'm understanding Deuteronomy 4, 6 through 8. Because when I read the words of Moses, like quoting the Most High, it's like, these are the best statutes and judgments ever. What nation has God this close? Blah, blah, blah. Outstanding stuff there. So I've put with the intention. That's what I put. Okay? Now in Exodus 19, we're going to talk about Mosaic covenant. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Okay? Verse 8 says, and the people answered and said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. Right? No new news here. Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. Our focus is the fourth commandment. Whoa. Stand by. Oh, that's not going to work. Okay. Our focus is the fourth commandment. He brought in a projector.
I just need an extension cord.
Our focus is the fourth commandment, except in Catholic Bibles where it's the third commandment. So, I'm just letting you know ahead of time, because if you pick up a Catholic Bible, it's not the fourth commandment. It's the third commandment in the Catholic Bible. And I'm not going to tell you why. Okay. In Exodus 20 and verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it set apart from the other days. Once again, we see that God cares about the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath to keep it set apart. This is under Moses. Remember the Sabbath to keep it set apart from the other days. All right. Establishing a baseline. When is the Sabbath first mentioned? I used to think that the Sabbath was first mentioned in Genesis 1. That's what I used to think. But then I found out that the first mention is really Genesis 2. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to look at this more closely down the road. But what I found was Genesis 2, 2 through 3. Now, in Genesis 1:14, which is the passage that I'm referring to, you know that there was a time when the lights in the skies were established. You know the passage. I'm going to read a little bit of it. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, of the heavens, to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons. And on my slide, signs and the word seasons are both in yellow. Okay, let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Now, then I have it in Hebrew, where you can see the Hebrew words there. And the first word is sign, which is ot, and we know about the ots. To signal something, examples of some ots would include the rainbow, circumcision, the plagues of Egypt, Joshua's stones in the Jordan, Isaiah 7:14 prophecy. All of those are referred to as ots. Okay? And the Sabbath in Exodus 31:13-17 and Ezekiel 20 and 12 is referred to as an ot. Now, the next word that is in Hebrew in Genesis 1:14 that I highlighted is moed. And we're familiar with the Moedim. You've heard that word said here probably a number of times in the assembly so far. And frequently it's translated as appointment. And what I did was, as I said, to designate a time for a meeting. Kind of like this. This is an appointment. So, if these things were set into the heavens to have a time and a season to be especially be a sign, then what does this mean? And my answer was, God has a day timer, just like us. Now, it's probably not an iPhone, but it's probably better technology. Okay? And so, I was very pleased when I started to catch up to God. No, just kidding. Okay, he has appointments set when he wants to meet with us. And I like that because I feel that's very personal. He's like, okay, I'm going to set a bunch of specific times that I want everybody to get together so we can all hang out. And I'm like, okay, I'll come. Yeah, okay. So, my suggestion is we should find out when they are so that we can be present. Remember, I'm talking to people who have questions about the Sabbath today. And see, my position is, if he has established times to meet, then we should find out when they are so we can all get together. I don't know. I'm a math major in college. It seems logical. Okay? So I'm going to read my expanded translation of Genesis 1:14 from the Hebrew. Here's what I wrote. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and to designate the times for divine appointments. So that's Genesis 1:14. Okay, then there's a word, Q-U-R-I, in Hebrew, proclaim. It denotes primarily the enunciation of a specific message. It's not a fantastic word, but it's a word that's used in specific things to behold, I'm bringing you a message now, type thing. Okay? It's customarily addressed to a specific recipient and is intended to elicit a specific response. It's not like I'm going to say something, you can go, No, I'm saying something because I want to hear back from you. Okay, that's what the word implies. It's requesting a specific response. Okay, is that a car motor? What is that?
There's somebody bringing an extension cord now.
Hallelujah. We got a system here. Okay, the second Hebrew word is mikwa, M-I-Q-R-A, which is, you'll see, translated as rehearsal. The word rehearsal. Many of us who have, looking back, you need anything from me? Okay, looking back, if you were in school, and let's say you were in a school play, or you were in music, and maybe there was a school performance of a like a band or something like that, then you could have a number of rehearsals, and then probably just before you get ready to do that performance, you might have a what they would call in English vernacular a dress rehearsal. Okay, are we happening? Cool. Can you all see that? Am I blocking anybody? You're good? Okay. Yes, and that's my clock. Okay. It's frequently translated, thank you so much. Derek's the man. Okay. Frequently translated as convocation and assembly. All right, here's the review of these three Hebrew words. We've got proclaim, appointment, rehearsal, convocation, assembly. So this is how I put it together. In Leviticus 23, speak unto the children of Israel, and I've underlined that because we're going to talk about Israel later on. And say unto them, concerning the divinely appointed times, sacred assemblies, of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be my holy dress rehearsals, even these are my divinely set appointments. That's how I understand verse 2 and 3. Okay? Alright, continuing to verse 3, it says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, a day for a sacred assembly. So once again, we're here in the time of Moses, and we can see there are instructions about the Sabbath in the plan of God. Now, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as some have begun to do. What is that talking about? If you read a Christian commentary, you will see that they say, well, people should have been in church on Sunday, but some of them were not showing up for service. That's what the Christian commentators say. But the reality of the text is there were some people who were not observing the Sabbath. They were beginning to fall away from observing the Sabbath in the first century. And we've already covered that in the teaching on church history. Okay. I put this in because I really feel like this is an important statement. We know that dating back to creation, He established certain things. We know this. If we are observing a time gathering and he did not establish it, my question would be, who might have established it? Who might have established it? If the Heavenly Father did not establish this time of gathering, who might have done it? I think that's, for me, yes, for me, that's an important question that people need to ask. Because the convenience of doing away with the law, there's a great convenience in saying, okay, the law's done away with. Okay, we're good. Now here's why. If you can do away with the law, then the commandment that says that do not inquire about how other nations worship their Elohim, because that's an abomination to me, do not do that, is done away with. So if you can get rid of the law, then we can all do Sunday and really be happy. But see, that's not really how I think it worked out. So if that commandment's still in place, now we have an issue, and this question becomes valuable to ask. All right, establishing the baseline. Reasons the Sabbath were given. Exodus 31, a sign between him and us. Rest. Refreshing ourselves. Assembling ourselves for fellowship. Who's the Sabbath for? I've had people say this answer before. Well, who's the Sabbath for? The Jews. And I go, well, I shouldn't get ahead of myself. And I say, the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments given in Exodus 20. Can you make a case that the only people who were at the foot of Mount Sinai was the tribe of Judah? And they go, what? They don't even know what I'm talking about. Okay. You know me. If I'm going to talk about verses, sometimes I am going to talk about the underlying language that's translated into English. Okay, I do that sometimes. In Mark 2:27, Yeshua said unto them, the Sabbath is made for mankind. Now, some translations are going to say man, but the actual word, how many people are familiar with anthropology? The science of anthropology. Okay, well, the word, and you can read it here, A-N-T-H-R-O-P-O-S. Anthropos. Anthropos is the Greek word that was brought into the English language for anthropology. So the Sabbath was made for mankind and not mankind for the Sabbath. Now we understand that within context here, Yeshua is talking to some of the religious leaders who had added some additional fences. We could call them perhaps maybe restrictions, but they had done some things to make the Sabbath more difficult to observe, and it was getting out of hand. And so he's making the comment that the Sabbath was made for us to rest and to rejoice and to assemble together, and you're making it too hard. So back off, you know, that type of thing. Okay, let's talk about prophecies concerning the Gentiles and the Sabbath. Blessed is the man that doeth this, the son of man that layeth hold on this, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. Keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me. The sons of the stranger that join themselves, love the name, be his servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. See a pattern? My last slide has something like this in here too. Turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Call it a delight. Hopefully you can say that from within your heart. I love when the Sabbath arrives, that type of thing. Holy of Yahweh, honorable, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, but taking this time, whatever, you know, yes, We're in constant communication with our Heavenly Father during the week, and we see scriptures, and scriptures come to mind, and you know, all the different visual input that's available, auditory input as well, available with the Word of the Almighty. Agreed. But on Sabbath day, let's sit back and do this thing. Okay? 14, thou shalt delight thyself in Yahweh, and thou shalt feed with the heritage of Jacob thy father. That's a section. These are things talking about the Gentiles. Now, Ephesians 2:11. I broke this down in a lot of detail recently because we had to deal with... I had a presentation on August the 4th of this year, so that's a couple months ago. And it was titled, Everything You Want to Know About Throwing Paul Under the Bus But We're Afraid to Ask. And what was funny was, that day, my lead camera operator was named Paul. And he's right in front of me. He's running camera here. And so I'm talking about this, and I'm saying, and we're going to throw Paul under the bus. Right, Paul? So all through this presentation, you'll hear me make statements, and I'll go, do you agree with that, Paul? You okay, Paul? Yeah, it was fun. But anyway, yes, I had to deal with how to throw Paul. If you're going to throw Paul under the bus, you have to do it right. So I presented a presentation on how to do it because I knew that people had questions on how to do it properly. So I had to do that. Okay? So, not taking anything away from what Brad Scott said yesterday about Paul, but I just needed to be clear for my assembly. Okay. So anyway, I had to deal with it with Ephesians 2:15. It was what the Greek words that are underneath the English brought out was just wonderful. But it's not here, so you can just go there and get it. Anyway, wherefore remember that being in the past time, Gentiles in the flesh. So he's saying, he's talking to a group of people saying, a while back you guys were Gentiles in the flesh. At that time you were without Messiah, you were separated from Israel, you were excluded from the covenants, you had no hope, and you were without God. All right. 13, but now you're in Messiah. You who were far away, now brought near. He's our peace, destroying the barrier of tradition. 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in man's traditions. Okay, you're familiar with these passages. 19, now therefore, this is a specific Greek word that Paul uses throughout all of his writings when he is discussing, he's going to lay a foundation for something, he's going to discuss something here, and at some point he's going to go, therefore. And this Greek word is a specific Greek word that means that I'm going to take everything I have discussed now and I'm going to kind of sum it up and I'm going to drill down and focus on this. And that's what that Greek word is there. Therefore, you're no longer excluded from citizenship, but you're fellow citizens of the household. Okay, now, some of the branches are broken off. We understand about the branches being broken off. Don't boast against the branches that were broken off. It's not an issue, you know. Our brother Judah, he's got some issues, but you know what? He could say, you know, those Hebrew roots people, they got some issues. You know, so I'm not trying to get on them. Some of them are not seeing Messiah right now. And so that impacts them negatively. Over here, we're working through some things too. Alright, so we're all working through some things, and I'm not saying anything you don't already know. Alright, so what have we learned so far? At the time of creation, it was perfect. During creation, the Sabbath was established as an ought. Okay? At creation, he cared about the role the Sabbath would play. Moses, Ten Commandments, given to all the tribes, not just Judah. Remember, what does that mean? It means don't forget. And it's amazing the things you can say positively, but then every once in a while you can say the same thing negatively.
Speak well.
Yeah. Moses states that the Sabbath is to be observed as Israel, and it's a sign. He explained, I thought this was pretty straightforward, explained the Sabbath to provide rest from 6 days of labor. You got six, you got one. So at this time, he cared. Prophets, Isaiah talks about the Sabbath. He cares. Yes, I'm moving along quickly. Time of the first century. Yeshua said the Sabbath is for mankind. Of course, now some may teach that, well, he only met until he died, that it was for mankind. I've heard that before. Okay. That's why I made this presentation. All right. Romans states, then this is after the death and resurrection, states the Gentiles have been grafted into Israel, so if you're not part of Israel, okay. Ephesians states that in the past we were Gentiles and we were separated. Yeshua's work allows us to not be separated. I mean, did I say this was foundational? Okay. All right. It's clear at that time that God was caring about the role the Sabbath would play. We're part of Israel. Israel is commanded to keep the Sabbath. If we're not part of Israel, we're separated from God. All right, now we get into the new stuff. Acts 3:20. We know that Yeshua will be returning, and I had this verse on Tuesday, that there's going to be the beginning of a restoration. The official big time beginning of the restoration at the end of this age. When does the restoration of all things begin? When does Yeshua leave heaven to establish his kingdom on earth? I'm asking a person these questions. I'm asking them these questions. I'm trying to walk them through. All right, so I've kind of skipped over today on purpose because I want to find out what role the Sabbath plays. All right, here's what it says about the priests in the millennial kingdom. Keep my Torah, my statutes, they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Okay, millennial kingdom. The people of the land shall worship at the door, this gate, and the Sabbaths. It's clear that at the time of the millennial kingdom, the Sabbath is in play for worship of the Almighty. Now, I'm just trying to demonstrate in the ages what the Scripture says to someone who's saying, well, I'm not seeing the Sabbath. I'm not seeing that. Basically because they were taught all the time about Sunday. Okay, let's continue. New heavens and new earth. What role does the Sabbath play? Well, it says in Isaiah 66, I'll make new heavens and new earth. What does he say in verse 23? And it'll come to pass that from one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come and worship me. You know, I read this Christian commentary, and when I looked up what they had for Sabbath, they had changed it from one Sunday to another, shall all flesh come to worship me. And I'm thinking, I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. You know, I would have liked, the guy's dead now, but I would have liked to ask him if he could make his case on how he translated that Hebrew word into Sunday. I would have liked to have asked that question. So, these people are tricky, you got to watch them. All right, so, even in the new heavens and the new earth, the Sabbath plays a role. That's what I'm saying. I'm establishing it plays a role. Conclusions. See, I love these transitions.
Wow.
Yes. All right. Does God really care about the Sabbath?
I'll take Tuesday for $400.
The answer is... Hey, I did Jeopardy here one year. Currently, I'm doing Family Feud, but that's another story. All right, creation. Moses. The prophets. Yeshua. The restoration of all things, Acts 3:21. Millennial kingdom. New heavens and new earth. Time of the Gentiles. See why I said it was important that I have a projector? You all been sitting there going, what is going on up there? Okay. I change not except when I change. That's in a different Hebrew text. Time of the Gentiles. How long was the Sabbath to last? Throughout their generations. I don't know. That seems pretty long to me. Okay. Now I got good news and bad news. If you're not part of Israel, I wouldn't worry about the Sabbath. Of course, the bad news is if you're not part of Israel, then you're separated from God. So, you know, it's a good news, bad news thing. If you're not part of Israel, Sunday's good. Okay? All right? But if you're separated from Israel, not having God is not good. I'm sorry, what?
Am I not of mankind?
You are of mankind.
So then the Sabbath applies.
Well, I think it should too.
That's what you read earlier.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, remember who I'm working with here. You'll find these discussions in these two passages here. Okay, so how long is the Sabbath to last? I love this discussion in Acts 13. I think this is very good. I've used this several times. Goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. All right. After the reading, the rulers, the leaders come and say, "Hey, you guys got anything you want to say?" They probably would take that back if they had an undo, you know. Okay. So they talk. Now, what happens at the end of the meeting? Jews have gone out of the synagogue. The Gentiles asked if these words might be preached to them the next day. What does verse 43 say? Paul says, "We don't have to wait till the next Sabbath. Tomorrow's Sunday, and that's when we worship." And I go, you know, I have not seen that text in my verse 43. But in verse 44, it says the next day the whole city came together. And I turn to people and I say, now I need you to help me with this. If they were observing Sunday 30 years after the resurrection, why didn't Paul take the opportunity to say, "Hey, we can get together tomorrow"? I think that's a fair question. Right. Even with this evidence, and I've got a lot more, but remember I said this is very foundational. Some will say at the death of Yeshua, the Sabbath was replaced with Sunday. You've heard that before. Verses that are used to do this include Colossians 2, 16, 17, which I think we've seen every day. And then I have a few others here to name. And what has happened is all of these are either they've changed the underlying Greek text, they've translated the Greek text incorrectly on purpose, and sometimes they will not just do a word, but they'll use a whole phrase, and they'll just change the way that it's read. Or they'll say the subject's being discussed is this, when really it's over here, it's this. So they have a number of things. Remember, I was a Protestant Christian. I started Southern Baptist, continued in Charismania, and just moved right along the Christian spectrum. And I know these arguments. I went to school and studied religious education. My class in Greek, I was the only student. Okay, I was the only student, and I met with the professor once a week, and all I had to do was study the Greek, and then I had to write my paper, and I'd show up, I'd sit with the professor for 1 hour, and then that was my class. Okay, and I did that for the entire semester. So I've been here, I've done this. I'm not coming out of a tradition that never knew Sunday. Sunday was my day. I know your arguments. I know how you support it. Let me get the professors who teach your pastors and quote them to show you what they're saying, the part that for some reason you're not getting. Okay? And that's what I do. I go to the library. I get the professors. I scan the book. I put it on a slide. I put it on a screen. I circle it in red and I go, "You want to explain this?" And they don't, because they can't. All right. Does God really care about the Sabbath in the time of the Gentiles? Yes. All right, so what we have learned. The Most High cares about the Sabbath from the time it was created until the time it doesn't end. That's a long time. All right? 1 Samuel 2:3. By Him our actions are weighed. That applies to everybody. Hosea 4:6a, because this is the passage, when I was going to the church, I never heard 4:6b. I always heard 4:6a. When I finally looked it up, it was like, wow, there's another part to this verse. My people destroyed for lack of knowledge. You people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let me tell you about that. That's the pastor. But then when I looked at 4b, it said, 6b, since you have forgotten the Torah, I'll forget your children. It's never mentioned. It wasn't ever mentioned in my church. I have no idea why, though. Okay. Conclusions. Let's talk about pagans. Or even a pagan heathen. Okay? Even a pagan heathen understands that they need to find out what their alien god requires of them. They've got to, they find that out. They're good at it. I mean, look at the history. Pagan heathens find out what their god requires of them and they go do it. Can we do less? Isn't it time for us to find out what our god requires and go do it? I mean, am I asking a lot here? Why can't we apply this principle and take a look at what the scriptures say from the beginning to the end about the Sabbath? Is it really that hard? Many will say, Lord, you're familiar with this passage. Depart from me, you who disregard my divine instructions. Has to be considered. This is another passage. People in Hebrew Roots movement think they're in. They're in. They feel like, well, I'm here. I've arrived now. All right. This text says, examine yourself. Make a determination if you are still following the truth. Because what is supposed to happen is during this time period, as we approach the end, truth is being restored. The Sabbath is restored. I mentioned that on Tuesday. Things are being restored. You have to find out where you are. I'm talking to these people now. I'm saying, things are happening. Are you sure you're following the truth of the scriptures, or are you sure that you're following your tradition? Protestant Christianity, they have multiple flavors. And most of you know that. Okay? So, yeah, I don't want to get into that discussion, but the bottom line is, sometimes you have to stop and say, you know, my church is not doing what they did in the first century. Is that important? Maybe I should look into it. Because if you don't, that's not good. What is it going to cost you to look into it? A few hours. You got somebody who will help you. What is it going to cost? Don't get caught saying, but Lord, I didn't know. When he says, look, I sent somebody to you. I gave you the scriptures. I sent somebody to you to say, why don't you check out? Why don't you examine what you're doing in light of the scriptures and see if it's working out? Don't say I didn't know, because you did know. You could have found out. Even in Protestant Christianity, they consider themselves children of the living God. I've heard them say that. Okay? How does a child honor his father? Here's how they don't do it. This is my last passage. The leaders of Israel have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. We don't want that to happen. I want people to stop what you're doing and say, all right, show me where the Sabbath is in the scriptures. Let me see the plan of God from A to Z, and let me see the whole thing laid out so that I can consider that in light of my Sunday history. Because what you're asking me to do is a big change. All I've known is Sunday. And now you're telling me that what I need to start knowing is the day before Sunday. For some people, it's a big change. I'm understanding that. And I usually say, you remember that passage where he says, count the cost? You should count the cost. It may cost you too much. But you are the one who's going to make that decision. Count the cost. Get back to me. If you're going to walk this out, I will stand beside you and support you and help you make those decisions to help you begin to incorporate this. Just let me know. This is how I do it. All right, that's the end of my presentation.